The Jets killed Carl. And a little bit of the Knicks.
You're listening to League of Ordinary Gentlemen Curbcast, Season 10, Episode 7, The Ugly Section. I'm Matt Dersen.
Clay Inferno.
Welcome. We're a day late here. I don't know. We usually do this on Monday, but I don't. Nobody cares. right? I mean, hey, a day. What's a day? Now we're doing this. It's
I'm so far behind in my comics and my in my TV shows. It's like,
yep,
ridiculous.
Yep. Oh, well, there's a lot going on.
It's
Super Tuesday, so everybody's got PAX. Their I voted stickers. Oh yeah, you were at PAX. How was that?
That was crazy, man. It was great.
You posted a lot of pictures. Anyways, let's get down to business. We got some business. There's a Curb episode, and I thought this was a top notch. This might have been not my favorite, because I really liked the first couple episodes of this season, but this was one of my favorites of the season. This was a great one. So I really liked the subtleties and stuff. Although there were some issues, there were some things I had. We'll get into it when we get there. But let's just start off. Of course, Larry is doing something very familiar at the beginning. He's golfing.
Yeah, these rich people love to golf.
They do. They do love to golf. It's Lewis and this guy, Carl, who we've never seen before, but he's a comedian, against Jeff and Larry. And Lewis hits this putt, I guess, to seal it for him. And they're like, boy, he didn't miss a putt all day. And Lewis is on fire. So, and they had apparently had a $500 bet on the game, because Larry and Jeff have to pay them $500 each. So that's not bad.
That's a lot of money, man.
Well, I guess not to these rich people.
What do they care?
It's like 20 seconds of a Seinfeld episode airing on Hulu or whatever, or Netflix. Is it Netflix they got to deal with? Yeah. So then they agree to go out to eat. Lewis is all like, I'll buy lunch, because he just won all that money. So he's all like, yeah, he's all excited. And then the valet pulls up in Lewis's new Bentley. He's like, what are you doing
buying a thing?
Yeah, right. He's like, what are you doing buying a Bentley? And he's like, well, hey, you know, it's a good car. And he says, what, are you jealous of my Bentley? And Larry's like, no, I'm not jealous. I'm concerned, because he thinks they're going to follow you home and beat you up, is what he thinks. So they go out to lunch and they're talking about sex. And how many times? And then he said when he was married to Cheryl, they had sex 4 times a week.
Right.
And like Jeff is like, I forget, but it was like once a week or something.
Yeah,
like
he said once. And yeah, and then that's when Carl says once too.
Well, Carl, but he says he's married.
It was more.
Yes. Because his wife has a magical vagina. He's never felt anything like it. It's magical. You're just encased in magic. You can't even describe it. So, and then he says, this is my favorite line of the thing, where he says, I can't even, just forget I said it. And Larry says, you expect me to forget it? Which I thought that was the best line of the whole thing. So now I know, Clay, you're not really a sports fan, but there's a lot of references in this episode to the New York Jets.
A lot of Jets. All I know about the Jets is that Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V,
yeah,
he loves the Jets. He wants to buy the Jets. That's like his goal in life. He's going to buy the Jets.
It's like hundreds of millions of dollars to buy a football team.
I think that he's going to do it. He could probably do it now if he wanted to.
Oh my man. This guy, this is the guy who goes around at yard sales and
same guy.
Sells like little toys that he buys. Wow. If he buys a Jets,
way more than that, yeah. But that's like his thing. He like one of his like it's like a meme. He was like, I'm gonna buy the Jets.
Buy the Jets. All right, well. So it's kind of funny because they're not run.
But they the Jets, suck, right?
Yeah, they've been shitty for a long time.
Why do they have so many loyal fans?
I don't know. It's like a New York thing, I think. You know, I mean, hey, for years the Patriots sucked too until 2000 or so.
But
you know,
what about the Giants? Do people just hate the Giants?
I mean,
what's the deal?
A lot of people hate the Giants, but but I mean, I hate the Giants. But the Giants have won.
Is it like
you know
Yankees,
what I mean? The Giants
Mets?
Are.
Is it?
It's kind of like
Mets?
Yeah. There are no. You don't. You're not fans of both. I think you have to pick one. Right. You have to pick Giants or Jets. So it is. It's Yankees Mets.
Is it more like more people like the Jets even though they suck? Is that what?
Well, I think it's.
That's the impression.
No, I mean, I'm sure they both have their fans, but the Giants have won Super Bowls more recently. Right, okay. The Jets have never really won anything. So, yeah, but I don't know if the Jets have more passionate fans, maybe. I don't know. I've never really studied that part of it. But the funny thing is, so here's the thing, really.
Do some research.
Yeah, I'm going to look this up. But anyway, here's one of the things, right? Because the Jets are in the same division as the Patriots, whereas the Giants are in the NFC. So the Giants don't, you know.
Okay.
But because the Patriots have been so – they have won their division however many years, some ridiculous amount of years in a row, like a record. Right. Like they're always – people
because they
mad
cheat,
at the Patriots.
I guess.
Because,
I don't know anything about it. I literally don't know.
All right. Well, let
I'm
me,
like a
I'm gonna,
baby. I'm just like pointing at stuff like Gaga, football.
Well, for you and for anyone else out there who doesn't know about the NFL, I'm going to tell you right now.
I honestly don't. I heard about cheating. So you tell me.
The NFL is designed, like the drafting and the salary cap and all these things are designed so that you're not supposed to be able to do what the Patriots have done. You're supposed to be able to get better, you know, or like, you know, and the Patriots is not supposed to be that good because they're supposed to be drafting lower and they have to keep their players. They can't just go out and buy the best free agents, you know what I mean? Because there's salary cap. But they are good because the Patriots are smart and the Jets are dumb.
Clearly.
I don't know. The Jets are literally like, so when they say they make comments in this episode all the time about how the Patriots walk all over them. I mean, it's true to an extent because the Patriots always finish first. And so all the other teams in the division, Miami and the Jets and whoever the hell else, I don't even remember. They're all way down. So I'm sorry. I don't know what else to tell you other teams except just be better. You just have to be better.
So it doesn't. But you said they were using stuff to their advantage. That you said they are like supposed to.
They're just
be
smart.
Regulated somehow. You just mentioned they're regulated by salary caps and whatnot.
Yeah, they are.
Every
team has to do that.
So the Patriots are just
supposed to be a more
do even that play. Better than anyone else.
Yeah, the Patriots do it better, and it's the coaching, and it's not just the. You know,
I've seen that meme. I know that guy. He's like, do your job. The big hat.
Yeah, that's Bill Belichick with the
like,
big
do
hat.
Your job.
He's got it written on the in the locker room. If every player does their job, then there's no reason they should lose. And plus they get guys like, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen to Tom Brady this offseason because but he has routinely taken a smaller salary so that the Patriots can stay under the salary cap.
Oh, good for him.
So it's kind of it's an unselfish thing and, you know, whatever, stuff like that.
Oh, how noble of that rich fuck.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's married to this super rich, you know, but I'm just saying other players wouldn't do that. They want to make as much money as possible. Mm. You never hear about players taking less money. Anyway, all I'm saying is I'm a little biased. Probably because I am a Patriots fan, but I understand Larry's pain because the Patriots were bad for many years. The Red Sox were bad for many years, obviously before, you know, they got good and then they got bad again.
Right.
But anyway, so the point is, so this guy, Carl, is complaining about the Jets and he gets really worked up because you know, an injury to a player has is derailed the whole season, is basically what he's saying. Uh-huh. And like, while he's ranting and raving about them, and he does say the Patriots walk all over them, like, it's pretty funny to me as a Patriots fan. I always think that they have a pretty competitive games, but overall, the Patriots always win. But anyway, meanwhile, while this guy's ranting about the Jets, Larry's looking around the restaurant. And he notices that there are many, many really attractive people sitting in one section and many, many really ugly people sitting in his section. And I'm not – that is no exaggeration. There are some really ugly people in his section.
They loaded him up.
I know, like, they intentionally just found the weirdest looking people. The person sitting next to Larry is just, like, so gross. Like, I don't even know. And Larry starts to think that if he wasn't with those other three guys, he would be in the good looking section.
Right.
And Lewis says, "What are you talking about? You look like Einstein's gardener," which I don't even know what that means. I wrote that down too. It's a pretty funny line. So now Nick Kroll, playing the restaurant manager.
That was the perfect part for Nick Kroll to play.
Yeah.
Killed it.
One of my, yeah, he's so funny. One of my favorites. And of course, he says there are no sections. It's just, you know.
And Larry's like, really leans into, like, anytime he has to say anything Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Teatro. Had a bad ball of burrata.
Yeah, he really leans into the Italian, right? So.
Bobby Bottle Service.
Bobby Bottle Service?
That's one of Nick Kroll's, like, characters.
Oh, okay. I don't really know his characters, but I've seen him in other stuff, and he's funny.
The league. The other league. The more famous league.
Yeah, not our league. So anyways, Larry goes into the bathroom, as he always does, I feel like, in every episode.
Oh, yeah.
There's some bathroom humor in, but not bathroom humor like, you know, bathroom humor, like literal bathroom humor, like humor about the bathroom.
Yeah.
So he goes in and there's an attendant there. And this is another funny, I don't know if you know this actor. His name is Adrian Martinez. He's been in a few things. He's not like famous or anything, but I remember him from The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, which is sort of a closet.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I love that movie too, but I don't like to admit it to people for some reason. I think people think it's.
What was he in that movie?
He was the guy, he was Ben Stiller's, like, co-worker.
Huh.
Who was like, he's like, "That's my Fern! That's my Fern!" He only had a couple scenes, but he was pretty funny. But anyways, so he's the attendant. And Larry's like, "Oh, look, I got a job to do here. Can you just maybe step out for a few minutes?" And, like, this guy makes it seem like his job is really important. It's like, "Hey, you know, when you got bad breath, I got mints. You need a little freshen up, I got cologne." He's like, "Look, they'll do without the mints and the cologne to have privacy." So
I always hate it when there's an attendant in the bathroom. I never have any cash. I don't know what to do.
No, me neither. You're right. I mean, I
hate it.
I feel like it's something they do. I just have to get rid of, because nobody carries cash and there's no way to tip these people anymore. And I don't know. I just feel bad for them. Larry's right. It's a crappy job. No one wants them there.
It's like, yeah, well, we'll get to that later. But, like, nobody wants that job.
Larry actually does say that. He's like, "Nobody wants you here." So he gives him $20 and he asks him to just go out of the room. He's like, "All right, just make it quick." And Larry's like, "Oh, yeah, I'll make it quick." So the next scene, we're at Latte Larry's and he's interviewing Sam Whitaker, who is the son of the dermatologist played by Ed Begley Jr. from last season, right?
I think so. And he, like, asked him to look at his neck or something.
And he said, "Oh, I'm not working right now," or something like that. Was that the deal?
Yeah.
Where he's like, "Larry, I can't." Yeah. I think that was it. And then there was a whole thing where he got a phone call, and so he didn't have to pay the, there was another golf thing, and, like, they lost, and he was going to have to pay Larry because he lost the game. And then he ended up getting like an emergency phone call and had to leave or something, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So I feel like that was it. Anyways, but this is that guy's son, and he's
just applying. A kid.
Yeah, he's 18 years old or whatever. He's applying for a job at Latte Larry's. Larry's like telling him, he's like, are you ready? Like, everyone who comes in here is going to be totally disgusting. Like,
the dregs of society.
That's right. He says the dregs of society. He says, I think I'm ready for it.
I love the way they always cut these small characters, like the way they cut their dialogue in there. He was just the kid was naturally funny, but all the stuff Larry was asking him, do you know what milk consideration is?
Right. That's right, milk consideration. That's a good that's like tip coordination. I feel like milk consideration is like if you go to Starbucks and or whatever, and they say, do you want to leave room for milk or cream?
Yeah.
You know, and that's basically milk consideration. And and he knew what milk consideration was. Yeah. So, anyway, Sam notices a rash on Larry's neck. And Larry's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, it looks like it might be, you know, they have topical ointments. You can just, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he tells him this sort of very clinical answer. And Larry's like, okay, I'll just go to see your dad because he's a doctor. Larry doesn't believe him. So he comes in. First, they have the thing with the, the kid leaves. Then they have the thing with their handles, which didn't really go anywhere. I don't know. Maybe that's a future episode. I don't know.
No, but it did go somewhere.
Yeah, a little bit, but
it was kind of like a big tension between him and the widow there.
Yeah, but it wasn't a big tension. It was a little tension. I don't think it paid off.
Inappropriate deal was made of it because
it was definitely inappropriate.
Siri was on and everything. We're jumping ahead though.
Yeah, we're jumping ahead. Anyways, so Larry catches his jacket on one of the handles on one of the drawers. Which we've all sort of done. And Leon says, like, you can't have those, like, carrying hot coffee, spill it all over you, you know, whatever. So Leon's pretty funny there. But the men's room attendant comes in and says he got fired. And he asks if Larry could talk to the manager because it was his fault.
I thought he was going to ask for a job at Latte Larry's.
I did too. I was almost hoping for that to be like the thing. But then Leon asked him if he took any of those mints. And he did. He had mints in his pocket. I don't know. I mean, those have been in the bathroom. That's gross. But
they're in plastic.
I know, but you still have to touch the plastic to open them up. And I don't know. I have a real thing with food in the bathroom. You know, not really food. I get it. Whatever. Larry, I'll talk to the manager. And then I guess he leaves. I don't know. I forget what the transition is, but maybe it's the next scene. I guess it's the next scene. Yeah.
Well, he's there. Like, will you go talk to?
Right. You talk to the manager. All right. So it's the next scene. And they're talking about the magical vagina. Larry's telling them about the magical vagina. And Leon says, I want to see if I stick this Pop-Tart in there, if it'll cook.
Pull a rabbit out of it.
I don't know if you noticed either. Like, in this scene, Leon has like a big gulp thing.
Yeah.
It has his name on it. Like he wrote his name in like big flowery kind of like, not flowery, but like, it's like he wrote his own name on it in like giant, like sort of stylized letters. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I never noticed that.
It's the first time I've ever, and I'm like, I wonder if they've done this before, but it says Leon in like big letters. So
I can almost picture him like always having that though.
Yeah. And I'm going to have to go back and check some previous episodes, but, anyway, then Jeff calls Larry and says, did you hear about Carl? He killed himself. And it's all, they're all like, oh my God, no, like, whoa. And they kind of come to the, conclusion that it was the Jets.
Because he said that he couldn't live with any more disappointment.
That's right. His suicide note said, I just can't take any more disappointment. And he said, oh my God, he said that to me that exact quote about the Jets. So he died because of the Jets. And I like Larry says, and a little bit of the Knicks.
I like that too.
So he's got to send a condolence text. They go a little back and forth about the condolence text. What kind of, what do you say? And then they kind of joke about, like, I would like to, know about this, Matt. Maybe when you're done grieving, you can enlighten me about this magical vagina. So anyways, he sees Ed Begley Jr., Dr. Winokur, at the funeral, right? Or is it the whatever it is? Well, yeah, they're talking about Carl, so I guess, and he's like, yeah, over the Jets, and he says, and Ed Begley Jr. says, yeah, what a catastrophe. He's like, and Larry's like, I know, the season's over by 3 games. He's like, I meant the widow and the family. And he's like, oh yeah, you're right. He says, yeah, I see you got a rash there. And Larry's like, eh. And he's like, I heard you poo-pooed my son's diagnosis. And he's like, no, I didn't poo-poo. So he tells him it's eczema. It's a topical ointment would be take care of it. And he's like, what did my son say? He's like, he said that exact thing. So it's pretty funny that the kid knew. And like, I think he said golfing is in the, oh, not golf. What am I saying? I'm looking at my notes here and I saw the word golfing. But he says, doctoring is in the blood.
Right.
This is so funny. So, oh no, they're at the golf course when this is happening. I'm sorry. I made like a, so there's a guy at the golf course, whose name is Jimmy, who's telling this guy all about the rules. And they're like, oh, you don't know what to know. So he goes over and says, Jimmy, you really know your
golf. Like extra. Well, he's not an extra because he has lines, but like another, just small part where they present like a really young person, almost like the construction guy that like was just dealing with Larry's urinal plans. Like, right. We have Jimmy here. They just like are so good at cutting those scenes. They're so
good. That's true. Like, and this guy's not. Yeah, this is his only scene.
Jimmy, and they're like, get out of here.
But he asked him about like club. His club, a golf club has to be a certain angle,
Yeah, it can't be straight.
Right. And he's like, really? Larry's like, huh.
And the penalty is disqualification.
That's right. So Larry thinks that Lewis was illegally, he had like an illegal club. So he's actually looking for his bag, and he's like, what? Can I help you? He's like, I'm looking for Richard Lewis's bag. And he's like, oh, he always takes it home. So he's like, does anyone else do that? He's like, no, he's like the only one. He's like, really? So Larry is very suspicious. So anyway, in the next scene, him, Jeff, and Susie go back to the restaurant with the ugly section and the good looking section. And Larry made a reservation. But like they won't seat him and he's like, I'd like to sit by the window, which is the good looking section.
Yeah, right.
And I love the way Nick Kroll keeps saying, well, we have a beautiful table, like a beautiful table over here. But he does take like, I love his look that he gives to, he gives a kind of look like whatever. So it's pretty hilarious. He has this look on his face that they obviously belong in the ugly section. But I love when they're walking over to the section, Larry's looking around and he's like, oh God, look at this. And he's like, they're showing all the people in the ugly section. And then at one point Larry says, oh, what happened here?
He totally over the top is like, wow, did I end up here?
I know. And when they sit down, he's like, this is what my life has become.
I always suspected I was ugly.
I always suspected.
Now I know.
Yeah. So I like that. But I mean, it's kind of funny to me because I don't know. I would think that Larry would never think that he was attractive. in a million years. But yeah, it works for the comedy of the show. But
yeah.
Anyway, now they're at the funeral, and he confronts Lewis about his putter. Lewis obviously denies it. You know, he's like, "Oh, you're crazy. You're crazy. I'm just on a hot streak." So now we have Jane Krakowski as the widow, another Ally McBeal alumni who, you know, you remember last week we had, what's his name? Greg German or German or whatever his name is. So two Ally McBeal people in 1 week.
There we go.
So they see the widow and Larry realizes, you know, the magical vagina is up for grabs. So, and they're like, "No, you got to wait. You know, you can't do anything. You got to wait." But he says, "I'm going to go offer my condolences." So he goes and talks to the widow. And there, you know, she's very nice to him. She's like, "Oh, Larry, thank you so much for coming." And she's very nice to him. And then he says, like, "Well," because she says, "Was he agitated about anything when he was with you guys?" And he says, "Well, the Jets." And she goes, "Fucking Jets." And she's really upset because the Jets affected their marriage. She said, "We had to paint our room green." And all the, he would just, in the middle of nowhere, this is another football thing, and I know you don't know who this is, so he would yell out, "Watson!"
Yeah.
And she's like, is that some kind of Sherlock Holmes reference? And he's like, "Well, it's probably a reference to Deshaun Watson, who they could have drafted, and they didn't draft in 2017. Deshaun Watson is like a super awesome quarterback for the Houston Texans, so.
Well, I could tell from context how to laugh at that joke.
That he was a, yeah. So, good. I'm glad, Clay. Good job.
But anyway. But I appreciate the explanation as well.
Yeah.
Both
for you, for anyone out there, that he is, yeah, he's a really good player. So, anyway. And Larry just says, "Oh, it's another loss on their record." Like, the... the people that he's killed, the deaths that they've caused is what he's saying, actually. It's like,
yeah,
they've caused a lot of deaths is basically what he's saying. So he sees the handles on the casket. He's like, "Oh, where do you get those? I'm opening up a..." Dear God, that horn. So anyways, "I'm opening up a coffee shop and I'd like to get those handles." And she's like, I really don't know. So he wants to take a picture of them, just as like the priest or whoever is coming out to sort of officiate the funeral. And she's like, "Larry, really, don't. And yeah, he's trying to take a picture.
And Siri is like, "I didn't catch that."
Right. He's like, "Fucking it all up.
I'll just text you later." She's like, "No, I'm just going to get a picture." In the middle of the funeral.
Yeah.
The priest is trying to talk and everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right. I mean, that was an awkward moment, obviously, but.
That was like, I feel like that was like the power of three you're always talking about. It's like, introduce the handle thing, and then two funny things with the handle. Like, one is that he's going to take a picture, and she's like, "No, just don't take a picture." Like, and then the third thing is like, Siri goes off too. Because that always happened to me too. Like, I'm always like, inappropriately, like, Siri will like, I'll be in a quiet church and this year will go off or something, you know?
Yeah, no, it happens. It happens. Yeah. Because anytime you say, "Hey, Google,"
just like, "Fucking sit down, dude."
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's right. That is, I mean, I guess that's a rule of three. I'll give you that. I would almost call it like 2.5. I wanted one more handle.
You wanted more. Yeah.
I wanted one more handle joke.
Well,
or it to factor in somehow. The scarecrow
keep getting promoted. 2.5. See?
My phone just went off. That's amazing.
Yours did?
My phone just went off. My phone just started talking. That's incredible. I don't even have Siri. I have the Hey Google, whatever version. She doesn't even have a name.
I hear you.
See? Did you hear that? It's talking a lot. Quiet. Oh my God.
So that's so the dark one for us. That's one. We have to have
we gotta talk two more
times by the end of the episode. Or 2.5.
So weird. Right, 2.5. All right. So anyway, they're driving home. He senses interest from the widow. And they're like, no, you got to wait. You got to wait 6 months for coffee and a year to ask her out for a date. But Larry texts her, or they're texting back and forth, him and the widow. And then he says, how about coffee or a meal of your choice or something like that? And Jeff's like, oh, you overshot it. Now it's a date. But she writes back to him, it's a date. So it worked. Larry got a date with the widow, which some people think is probably, you know, pretty awful, but I think it's right up Larry's alley. You know,
it's
what I mean?
Also something that scientifically is proven that, like, a lot of times when someone dies, like, there'll be a lot of, like, people, like, want to feel alive. So, like, they'll be tapping that ass.
Interesting. Boop, boop, ba-doop. And she did say, boop, boop, ba-doop. She did say that their marriage was troubled anyway because of the Jets. Like, they weren't really.
They got along, but it was troubled. Right.
It was, they had, their marriage wasn't great. She said it was amicable, but yeah. So the next scene, they're back at the restaurant. This is pretty funny. So Jane Krakowski walks in and Nick Kroll is like, oh, we have a section right over here. He's going to see they're in the beautiful section. We have a table over here right in this, by the window. And then Larry walks in next to her, like he's with her. And Nick Kroll gives him the look like, he turns around. He's like, we have a beautiful table over here. And Larry's like, oh, weren't you going to see her in the good-looking section? And he's like, there is no good-looking section. He's like, well, so I see how it works. If it's one-to-one, you go to the ugly section.
Right.
If it's one good-looking and one ugly, you go with the ugly section. I see how it works.
That was a sports thing that I did know. It was Ty Goes to the Runner.
That's right. Yeah. He did say that. He said Ty Goes to the Runner. Yeah.
But here, Ty Goes to the Ugly.
Oh, so anyway, they're walking over to the ugly section. It's the same thing. Larry's just like, oh God, look at this. Oh geez. Like, he's so disgusted by all the people. Then they're talking about, you know, like the grieving and all that. That story you referenced about the turtle grieving earlier, Larry had a turtle when he was a kid and the turtle died, and his friend was like, oh, we're going to go play punch ball. And he's like, well, I shouldn't. My turtle just died. And then after about a half an hour, he's like, I kind of want to play punch ball. So he flushes the turtle and goes to play punch ball.
I'm really, my condolences to your turtle.
Yeah.
But she doesn't say to Larry. She's like,
right,
my condolences to your turtle.
So anyway, turns out, you know, she's got a rash too. Larry says, oh, go to see. She's like, oh, I can't get in to see the doctor. He's like, oh, his son has he knows his stuff. Just go to see his son. That's pretty funny. And then Ted and Susie walk in and they get seated in the good looking section.
And they're like, you can kind of hear them tittering, talking about Cheryl and
right, Ted
maybe getting back together.
Yes, yes. I'm sure that's like a calling it forward or whatever, to a call forward to something that will happen later. I don't know. But Larry's like, what are you doing over here? You know? And Susie's like, well, he's incredibly handsome. And the only reason I wasn't seated in the good looking section because of you and Fat Boy, she said. Talking about Jeff. Oh, So she's also mad. Not only is she mad at him that, she's mad at him because he's with the widow. She should be home and dressed in black for a week or whatever, or for 6 months or whatever it is. But she's,
which is what you do when you Jewish people sit Shiva, but
right.
Carl and his wife weren't Jewish,
right?
So,
but she's still, you still should be mourning. I mean, you should still be in mourning, probably.
And he's like, Susie's like, oh, you you're taking advantage of this vulnerable person. He's like, I'm not going after.
Yeah, I think it comes up because she had money, or and then like he's like, no, I don't care.
That's
it's
what
like,
Ted says.
Yeah.
Ted references like, the money that we're always talking about.
Right.
How he's just rich and
yeah.
People love that.
But he says he's only with her. Larry makes a comment about the magical vagina, and suddenly Ted is interested.
He is. Wait, what?
Ted's like, what? Yeah. Ted wants to know.
Susie off too.
Yeah.
She's like, that is the most inappropriate thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
The Nick Kroll comes over and tells Larry that he should go back to his seat, and he's like, and he tries to get him to admit again that there's no, you know, that there's a good looking section, an ugly section. And he also mentions about the bathroom attendant. So that's another reference that, you know, the rule of threes.
Yeah.
But then he says, I don't know how you could see this Miskite. I forget even how to pronounce this word, but it's a Jewish or a Hebrew word just meaning ugly. He's talking about
an old battle axe. I looked it up too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Old battle axe.
And she's like, you bald fuck. So.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not a Miskite, you bald fuck.
So, anyway, next scene, Larry's in the bathroom. There's no attendant there, obviously, because he got fired. And Larry's just washing his hands and everything. And Nick Kroll comes in. He kind of rushes in. And he's like, Mr. David, could you maybe step out? And he's like, oh! Because he wants privacy because he had a bad whatever word you said. Burrata. I'm not even sure I know what that is. But
I don't know what it is, but I've seen it on fancy menus.
Oh, excellent. So he says,
it's Larry cow will milk trade. Cheese.
Oh.
Made out of mozzarella and cream. That'll do it.
That like, sounds pretty good, actually.
That'll do it, though, I'll tell
you. Yeah, that'll give you the shits, I assume. So Larry barters with him. He's like, I'll leave if you let me sit in the good-looking section. And even though he won't admit that there's a good-looking section, he's like, fine. And so he just – so he leaves.
And then he gives Harold his job back, but not in the bathroom.
Right. He gives him we see later he becomes a waiter, so that's really nice. So when Jeff – the next scene when Larry comes out and he gets in Lewis's car. He wants to talk about the club, and Lewis gets carjacked, just like Larry predicted. And he's like, "What's in the trunk?" And he's like, "Nothing. Like, just some golf clubs." He's like, "All right, I'm gonna take those too. Open the trunk." This guy's got like a gun and everything.
But Larry says that this guy wants to get the golf clubs, so he's like, "I'm gonna go back there." And he tells Robert how to open the door, or how to open the trunk.
That's right. He's like, yeah, because Larry wants to see the clubs. And he also has a Jets, like, ski mask. He's like, oh, are you a Jets fan? He's like, yeah, still I'm a Jets fan. Top. And they both sort of commiserate over how
this
much the Jets suck.
This whole episode is just about Larry's relationship with the Jets.
So then he takes the putter, though, because the guy's like, all right, give me the clubs. And he's like, no, I just want the putter. And he's like, I got to have the whole set. And meanwhile, people have called the cops. The cops are coming.
Yeah. Sam Whitaker this is kind of a whole, like, kind of a quick ensemble thing because Sam Whitaker is already working at Latte Larry's. And he called the cops and was like, I think my boss is being robbed? ? And then you start hearing, like, the police sirens coming.
Right. So you hear the sirens, and the carjacker has to run because Larry won't give him the putter, and then he's just like, I gotta get out of here, and so he runs away.
But Larry's just holding the putter and looking at
it. And he walks over to the window, and he's got the putter, and he looks at Lewis. He's like, we have to talk. So he caught him. He caught him cheating, which is a big, a big moment because in the next scene, he's with the widow and they're on the couch and she's, you know, saying, they're well, what else? Yeah.
That ass.
They're gonna get it on. And, you know, first they have to put the pictures down, the picture of her and Carl and whatever, and pictures of Carl.
That was so, like, I don't know, like, improvised. It was so, like cheesy sitcom joke or something. Like,
it was just like, oh, Larry's is like, oh. But I think it was more to show that she was ready to go, because she's willing to just, like, forget Carl.
Yep.
And she's like, what else are you thinking about? Like, wink, wink, saying them all. Yeah. And Larry says that because Carl was on the cheating team from the first scene of this episode, he should get his $500 back. And she's like, what are you kidding me? You want me to give you $500 because, like, Lewis cheated? And he's like, well, you know. Then they
just get laid.
Yeah, like that's the thing. I thought this was kind of definitely against Larry's character for him to not want to get laid over anything else. Like no amount of money. It's not even the money, because he even told Ted Danson it's not the money. But
he has things about rules though.
Right. Like he feels he is owed this. Regardless of how much money it was, it could have been $5 probably. Yeah. And he still would have said it.
And she's like, you want me to pay that back? And he's like, no, not you, you know, the estate. And she's like,
yeah, right. She's like, I am the estate. And Larry sort of equates it to a play in a Jets game from 2017 where he should have caught up, like where the guy, I forget his name, Safarius Jenkins, I guess, I forget his first name. Anyways, but he catches, you know, like he caught a ball that the refs ruled he didn't have control of the ball, and it was ruled. And Larry thinks that screwed their whole season. And she's like, he didn't catch the ball. And she tells him to get the fuck out.
She tells him to watch the tape and stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Because she all of a sudden turns into like the, you know, like super Jets fan too, you know, like.
Right. Well, no, but she's going against the Jets. She's saying that it was not a play. She's disagreeing with him. I think it's her hatred of the Jets that makes her say, no, he didn't catch it. Yeah, go back and watch the tape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. So that, I don't know. I mean, it's funny, and that's how sports fans are sometimes, you know, like these debates. But I feel, if it was really Larry's character, he would have had sex, you know, over anything. Sex trumps everything in his book.
Yeah, right? Maybe that could, like, Larry's style is that, like, he's laying in bed and mentions it after.
Yeah.
And she's like, get the fuck out.
Right.
Like we've seen with Cheryl or
Max
or whatever his other ladies.
Right. No, I think he would rather have sex first and then have his babe. Yeah. So anyway, they go
even
back.
Even if he knows he wants to bring something up later.
Right. I think it's always, he would always have sex first. But I don't know. That's why I thought that was a little weird, but maybe they just didn't want to, I don't know. Whatever reason, they wrote it the other way. So what are you going to do? But so in the next scene, Larry and Jeff are sitting in the good looking section. Or like he's going, because he's allowed to. Now you can see Nick Kroll is so, it frustrates him so much to have seat them in the good looking section. Right. And then Harold, the men's room attendant, comes over. He's a waiter now.
Earlier in the episode two, when Nick Kroll is denying that there's a good looking section and an ugly section, when he says the words good, there's no good looking, he looks at Jenna. What's her name? Jane. He looks at Jane.
Jane Krakowski. Yeah.
She's and then he good looks looking. For the ugly, he looks at Larry. There's no good looking and ugly section. It was really funny. I love that guy.
He is great. He is really funny. So he's they're sitting there, which is weird. So like I guess they go to lunch with this kid because what's his name? The kid Sam Winokur comes in.
Right.
Like, what is he eating with them for?
Yeah, I don't know.
And Larry, of course, waits. He's like, oh, no, he's over here. He's in the good-looking section. And I like to, this kind of rewind a second, but when Larry's walking to the table in the good-looking section, he's like saying hi to everybody, you know.
What like a beautiful it's like, dress. And then he's like, left. And he's like, I know.
So he's happy now, because when he was walking over to the table in the ugly section, he was like, oh, God. Oh, look at this. Anyway, but yeah, Harold, the restroom attendant, who is now a waiter, says, oh, it's great. There's much better tips. But he still has the mints. He's like, you got those mints? He's like, yeah, here, have some mints. Sorry, the kid, Sam Winokur, comes in, and he had his consult with the widow. And he says, oh, she's got the best skin he's seen in all his years, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah.
He's not even a real doctor.
In all my years.
Yeah. Oh, the skin is beautiful.
The subcutaneous layers. And...
Yeah. And he says he gave her a full body exam.
She had some other complaints.
Yeah. But then he
can see her seducing him, too. Well, she was just about to get it on with Larry.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she must have just wanted to have sex with somebody.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, would you be able to see, you know, everything? And, you know, sort of,
you he know, says
the vagina.
He says that it's a full body examination is standard practice.
Yeah, that's right. He did. So Larry said, did you... you know, examine everything, and you know, he's so like, you know, he's trying to get him to describe the magical vagina, and he does also use the word magical. So the kid said it is magical. It's pretty funny. So a guy in the restaurant starts to have a seizure. And Nick Kroll says, oh, no, someone in the ugly section is having a seizure. Is anyone here a doctor?
Yeah, he just outright says it.
He just outright says the ugly section. And of course, Sam Winokur says, I can help. My father's a doctor. And runs over to help. And scene. And the end. So I thought that was
good punchline.
Yeah, that was a good punchline. Yeah, vaguely
Junior said it's in the blood.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess people believed it. People were like, okay, yeah, we'll let this guy help because his father's a doctor.
Larry said, what did he say? I don't want to hear Louis Armstrong's son play the trumpet.
That's right. That was his reference. He's like, I don't care that your son is a doctor. I don't want to. That was pretty funny. But yeah, so that was the episode, which I thought was great. Although there were those, like I said, those couple little character moments that I was kind of like, oh, I mean, that's weird. Larry would have had sex first before bringing up the $500. But yeah, whatever.
And I wouldn't think the absurdity of the carjacker having a Jets mask on in Southern California, like.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, Larry.
That was a funny dialogue they were having about.
Yeah.
That. He's like, my friend, he killed himself. He's like, yeah, he's probably better off.
Yeah, I mean, especially in Boston, and like, if you're, you know, you're out somewhere and you run into people, you have those kinds of debates all the time, especially with strangers, it seems like. You know what I mean? Because this is all you have in common. So you talk about the Red Sox or whatever, the Patriots, or you know what I mean? Like, and you're just like, oh man, can you believe that?
Captain America.
I guess you talk about Captain America. But But like I said, the only other moment I was surprised at, and this is just how the show was written, it's fine, but I wouldn't think that Larry would think that he would belong in the ugly, in the good looking section. I thought that was a little weird. I know he'd want to get in there. I can buy that. But I don't think he thinks in his mind that he seriously should be there.
Right.
So, but other than that, classic. Classic Curb, another as we like to say.
Classic in the can. How many do we have left now?
This is 10 episodes. That was 7, so we got 8, 9, and 10. But I want to say one thing, too. This episode was really short. This was like 25 minutes or something like that. I thought so, too. Yeah, I was a little bummed.
I watched it a couple times, though.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's definitely, it's funny. It's pack a lot in to 25 minutes, but most of them are around 30, 35. So, yeah, not a big deal.
The shop is almost open.
That's right. They must be getting there. They're hiring people. You know, Leon had the cups. So,
right.
It's pretty, it's got to be close.
And he's like, do you know what a latte is? Oh, it's espresso with like some foam milk in it. And Leon's like, this kid knows his shit.
Like, and Leon was ready to just hire him like that.
Leon's the best.
Leon is the best. You know the great thing about Leon is they know exactly, like he's a small doses kind of character, and they do it just perfectly, right. You know, like it's funnier in small doses, and that's
he kind of broke out from the blacks situation there. I mean, you know,
yeah,
I knew he would like end up just being like hanging around, and you know what I
yeah
mean?
Yeah, he's just he just lives there, like he just
yeah
always making food or having sex, cool. Or yelling.
You were
at
like
movies.
An old rich guy. You want to have like somebody to hang around. You know what I mean? You probably have somebody clean your house and all that. So,
Leon doesn't clean the house, does he?
No. That's not what I was saying. I was saying like you're an old rich guy. You just want to have somebody to hang around with. Like people come and clean your house and they like you know do yard work or whatever because you pay them because you're rich,
right? Yeah, right.
But like, you don't get to hang out with them. Like, Leon, you're just a dude that hangs out there. In the guest
yeah, no,
or
it's,
whatever,
I
you
think,
know what I mean?
Yeah, Larry obviously is fine having him there, but yeah. I don't know. It's funny. It's
like he's not like paying Leon to be his friend. He's just kind of like being like, oh, if I, you know, need someone to watch the house or whatever, yeah, Leon's there already. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he knows that Leon is like leeching off him. It's not like, but he doesn't care, right? Because he's rich.
He doesn't care.
He basically has an unlimited amount of money.
Like, I have a guest house. Might as well have someone live in it.
Right. Like, he just does. It's just someone to have around. But Leon is getting, you know, a great deal because he gets all the. He gets to live there for free.
Yeah, he doesn't have to work. He doesn't do shit.
Eat all this food. Yeah. But it's perfect that he's only in every episode for like a very short time. And that's all. Like a few good lines and then get out. You know, like we don't want to overdo it. It's funnier this way. So.
I agree.
Yeah, he is great. So, yeah, this episode, I love Nick Kroll and. You know, Ed Begley Jr., of course, is really funny. Jane Krakowski, like I said, another Ally McBeal in 30 Rock and all these other shows. So,
Kimmy Schmidt.
She was in Kimmy Schmidt? Oh, okay. Very good.
Did you ever watch that show?
No, I never did.
Very funny show. Especially with, like 30 Rock and Parks, that kind of world of shows.
I do like Parks. I never. 30 Rock is fine.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was fine. I didn't love it. I wasn't like, I have to watch this show all the time. I do love Tina Fey, but
she produces the Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh, yes. Very good. No, I love Tina Fey. I thought they did a little too much Tracy Morgan. I mean, he was funny, but like, you know, he's sort of another, he's a character they should have done in small doses, and they kind of did too much Tracy Morgan on 30 Rock. But we're not talking about 30 Rock. We're talking about Curb. No, so
save that for the 30 Rock podcast. It'll make you watch everything.
So I don't know if you watched the preview for next week's, but this is the John Hamm episode. I've been looking forward to this.
The premise of why John Hamm is like following him.
He like is playing him in a movie or playing a character like him in a movie or something, like a character that's based on him, of course. And he wants to follow Larry around, but I think he really likes him.
That explains the full season trailer where Larry gets kicked out of a dinner party and he's like, all right, I'm out. And then John Hamm does the same thing. And they
leave. Well, she says, you too. Yeah, fuck you too, John Hamm. He's like, all right. So that was pretty good. I mean, I love John Hamm, so I'm very excited about that. And I don't know, as far as Curb in the news, we got some more Bernie on SNL this week.
Oh, yeah.
But David Byrne was like musical guest. I don't know if you watched any of that. But
I did watch those. It was, I watched Once in a Lifetime. I didn't watch the other song.
Well, yeah, but that was the performance that Rachel and I, that's like the show that Rachel and I saw. We went to Broadway to see the show.
My friend Alex that I do some stuff with, he was telling me it was amazing too. That Utopia.
Oh, so good. So good. So
you know what I liked about that was it was a perfect, like, I have fond memories of that song.
No,
he didn't do it so differently that I thought it was any different than the song I grew up listening to. Like, it was perfectly like, this song is relevant in the 1980s and it's relevant now, and he's performing it the same as he did back then.
Yeah.
And he's just basically a master of it, man. He was great. Must be great to see that trail, man.
It was so much fun, and like, yeah, seeing it like a nice, the crowd was really into it, and he played a few songs that you definitely would have recognized. So I recommend it. You can even listen to it on Amazon and stuff. Obviously it's not the same as being there, as I brag about that.
Soundtracks.
It's not a soundtrack. It's like listening to a live concert, basically. Yeah. Do you listen to a live? Why wouldn't I
just put on Talking Heads?
Because this is new. What are you talking about? You'll never hear new Talking Heads. They hate each other.
Yeah,
which is sad. But anyway, so I'm excited. All I was saying is, yeah. So that's, if you're gonna go watch Burn, then go Larry as Bernie, then just, you know, while you're on YouTube, check out, maybe we'll put in the show notes, check out David Byrne doing Once in a Lifetime with his sort of, you know, Malignant band.
Is hilarious too. That LaGuardia skit, top notch.
Very well. But yeah, all right. That's all we got, I guess, right? And you got anything else, Clay?
That's it, my friend.
Very well. Well, we'll talk to you chumps later. Three more Curb guests. See you later.
Lady Pop.
That fucking vagina could pull a rabbit out of that motherfucker. Or, like, put this fucking Pop-Tart in that fucking vagina and toast that shit.